Blog Talk Radio.
Today, Nathan Hale, America's first spy during the Revolutionary War. He was captured and hung by the British, and Americans still have never understood. They think spying is a nice little gentleman's game, and it's not. It's very dirty business. And even not only enemies spy on enemies, but friends spy on friends. It's just the way it goes. A military attachés and consulates and in the embassies, excuse me, are here to see what check on the military capabilities and plans of even their friends as well as their enemies. And of course, everybody knows that it's a game of spy. Excuse me. Also, during that period of Nathan Hale, it was the Major Andre, the British spy who was captured by the Americans, and he was hung. And of course, he was betrayed. He was involved with Benedict Arnold, who was very upset. Benedict Arnold was originally an American Revolutionary War hero who fought all the way up into Canada, and was of course the Americans have always tried to capture Canada and failed. Once we sent up our most incompetent general, Dearborn, and of course I think he was captured. And what happens? They named streets after him in the town. In Detroit, Michigan, which incidentally is where the Ford Motor Company was set up. Excuse me. And Benedict Arnold turned traitor. He gave the secrets of West Point, the military fortress and now military academy, gave it to the British, but they did succeed in capturing West Point. But that's just how these things go. And of course, we have the issue today of Bo Bergdahl, very controversial, and so controversial that even his hometown canceled their homecoming celebrations for him because of all the controversies about his release. But what's interesting is traditionally in spying, in when there swaps, it's one for one. The most recent famous one was Colonel Rudolf Abel, a KGB spy who had been in the United States operating out of the East Coast for nearly 20 years. He was captured and apprehended by the FBI, and he was swapped. He was sentenced to American federal prison. He was swapped for Francis Gary Powers, who was spying about the time of just before Eisenhower was to meet Khrushchev in Vienna for a summit. And his plane, the U-2 jet that Francis Gary Powers was flying, was supposed to fly at 50,000 feet and no Russian missile could touch it, but we got fooled and it got shut down and Francis Gary Powers was captured. He was sentenced by a Soviet communist court, and later there was a negotiation. Abel was swapped for Francis Gary Powers. So this is how these things go on. Also on this day, Walter Chrysler, the founder of Chrysler Motor Company, was born. And they built some great cars, and even today those cars are muscle cars. They're not the, they developed that Hemi engine. Back east, they were always trouble in the wintertime because of a low compression to start them. My first car was a Chrysler car. Paid $100 for it. You don't have those days anymore. But anyway, Chrysler now is part of, I think, Fiat in Italy, which we used to call found Italian junk. They seem to have improved. I think Agnelli, the Italian motor king, founded Fiat. Excuse me. So it's cold. So today, the Chrysler cars of the 40s and 50s, 60s are not the muscle cars that we see today. So it's one of the reasons why people who handle these cars, especially women, they don't have driving skills and experience, and also the fact that the schools no longer teach driving in the high schools. And so we have people driving cars that they can't handle and have no experience learning how to handle. Also, today's birthday of the Dalai Lama, born in 1935. We got another one waiting up there in that mountain. the first African to come to Russia that we know, brought to Russia, was brought by Peter the Great back in the 17th century. He was an ancestor of Alexander Pushkin, and you can still see the facial resemblance. Alexander Pushkin was one of the great writers in Russian history and Russian literature. The guy who went to the South Pole but froze to death, in fact, they recently found bottles, a case of scotch, I believe, still drinkable, Robert Falcon Scott. The great English composer, Vaughan Williams, composed Symphony Antarctica about the exploits and the disaster and the death of Robert Falcon Scott, English explorer. One of the great cardiac experts, an honest, ethical, competent doctor, unlike some that we're seeing today, Dr. Paul Dudley White, was the heart specialist for Eisenhower, President Eisenhower, when he had his heart attack. One of my roommates out of college was one of the cardiac specialists, a U.S. Navy doctor. Dr. Fox was one of the cardiac specialists for, I think, Lyndon Johnson. Excuse me, so I'm just cold. Among the deaths today, a guy also associated in the field of psychology, Carl Jung, died today. Today also, Robert Kennedy, who was a candidate for president back in 1968, he was assassinated in Los Angeles on this day, 1968. That was the second assassination in 1968. The first was Martin Luther King. Among the other deaths, we have Stan Getz, the great saxophonist. He died relatively young, 64 years old. The great oil man, one of the cheapest multi-billionaires in world history, J. Paul Getty, died. His son, one of his sons, he had four. Gordon Getty inherited a lot of the money and lives in San Francisco, and he went to music school and writes music. Today, it's D-Day, and of course we had the rare and only interview done by General Paul Garrigan, Berrigan, who's not related to the Berrigan brothers, the Jesuit priests who were war protesters during the Vietnam War. Berrigan came from Boston, from an Irish ethnic family, and we did a long interview, the only interview he did. He was also the chief American engineer for the St. Lawrence Seaway, but he knew General Patton, he knew Eisenhower, and he was the deputy commander for the Mulberry Bridges, which was Churchill's idea. These were prefabricated bridges which were towed across the English Channel to be shoved onto the French beach so that the American vehicles could get off without being carried off by cranes. They could be driven off under these prefabricated bridges and to continue the headlong rush to defeat the German armies on the Western Front. Now, it's interesting, Putin's raising some questions. Now, the whole idea about Normandy as the invasion of Western Europe was pushed by Stalin. Stalin wanted to take the pressure off of the Eastern Front, off the pressure off of his armies. Churchill, who we should have listened to, wanted to invade Europe, what he called the soft underbelly, which was through the Balkans, and that, of course, would have kept the Russians out. So what happened was, well, we were fighting on the Western Front in Germany and in France and Holland, Belgium, those countries. The Russians were fighting in the east and moving fast westward, and by the time the war ended, they were the first ones in Berlin, which is East Germany, and they had occupied all of that land, Romania, Bulgaria, Czechoslovakia, horrible things that they had done. And of course there is a group of we keep hearing the name but we can't nail it down, the NKVD, which was the predecessor of the KGB, the Russian spy operation. But Stalin supposedly sent in these they were called Red Hyenas. These were these women, I believe to be lesbians, came in and they were to terrorize the populations of the Russian-occupied countries. And I understand they did horrible things to men. But we're still trying to nail all this down. It's right now that's what we have heard. I have not been able to get the rest of the specifics on this. We're still working on that one. So we're going to play part of the interview I did with General Philip Berrigan, and it's a long interview. This is piece of part one.
Good to know Eisenhower. Were you posted in England during the war?
No. Just in World War II, Eisenhower commanded the Normandy landing, and I was under the chief engineer's chief of construction then. That, I had a lot of experience then, from 1927 to, what is it, 41.
Right. So Normandy was 44.
44, yeah.
So 17 years.
And I'd been serving, actually, I served in the Portland, Oregon district, and the colonel I was served under was choice for his chief engineer, and he chose me to be the chief of construction because he knew what I could do from the fact that I served with him in the Portland, and we did things for putting in government corners and things like that, and even war different engineering.
Now those mulberries, I think they call them, was that a British invention or was that American? Those landing, they were like flat things to land on the beach.
I think the name came from the British. Yes.
Now, during war, do you do any engineering for like the troops, like any sanitation, or is that done by the veterinarian?
Oh no, the Corps of Engineers have districts and divisions all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
Like they got a district and a division in San Francisco. And the division covers districts at Sacramento and Los Angeles and San Francisco, and they have a division in Portland that covers districts in Walla Walla and Seattle.
Now, in the liberated areas of Europe, did the Army Corps of Engineers come behind and rebuild the facilities, the sanitation sewers that were destroyed, or was that left to civilian authorities?
No, if it was for troops, we were the ones that built them. In other words, we built big installations for divisions in California even. Mm-hmm. They had division headquarters in Los Angeles, San Francisco, Portland, and Seattle.
So you worked the whole West Coast?
Well, Portland and Seattle were under one place, and San Francisco and Los Angeles and San Diego were in a division that was covered California.
After the war, what did you do? World War II, I mean.
See, if I can remember.
Well, you were still on active service.
Oh, I was still in active service, yeah. Gee, it's so long, I can't remember.
But, okay. Or the Korean War, or St. Lawrence Seaway.
Yeah. Well, I was in Chicago. Actually, I'd come to San Francisco, and I had a lot of jobs with foreign countries during World War II, England and France. Belgium, in other words, there was the chief engineer, but I was chief of construction. I was the one that dealt with the British as to the geography and the construction for the divisions that were going to land in France and over England. And, of course, I worked with them. Then we went to France. I dealt with the French and France and Belgium where we put divisions and troops for the invasion into Germany.
When the Germans retreated back to Germany, did they destroy sanitary facilities like sewer facilities, sanitation, that sort of thing?
No, I don't think they destroyed any. There just weren't any for the size of the units we were placing. In other words, when you build a division camp, you put in the plumbing.
Okay. That's prosaic.
Okay. Well, I don't know what happened. We will go and play some music to honor DJ. Canadians landed on gold and sword beaches. The Americans landed on bloody Omaha. I recommend recommend this film, The Longest Day, very accurate film with a lot of cameo casts and the great Zanuck, the great director-producer. They've colorized the film, so it's still available, and I highly recommend it. Here's a musical salute to U.S. Marines who are also involved in war. breaking up here, but let's see what happens. We just had this new stuff put on. Now, Trevor Hodges, the Brit who came to America during the 20s and later became, worked for Chrysler Corporation and later became a colonel in the U.S. Army, he was stationed up here in Northern California. So he didn't see Normandy, but we still have his interviews, stuff that he did. And we're going to get into Tokyo Rose or Rose Giacchino. It's very important about what happened to her when MacArthur and the U.S. military landed in Japan after the surrender on board the USS, which is a battleship, the last of the major battleships, one of the last great ones. There were four of them. New Jersey was the other one. And the Missouri, of course, was launched during, and of course, sailed into Tokyo Bay because President Harry Truman, who was from Missouri, was the president. So now we're going to play another. This was the theme used during World War II by the spy network, spy agencies that Britain was using. And it was the messages to the French resistance were done in code, and this was one of the themes that was used by the this is important too. Let's play this march and honor the RAF because they were involved. I think this is appropriate to play the Navy's Him, Eternal Father, because the ship that a British Royal Navy ship, the HMS Belfast, fired the first salvo on June 6th, but the American Navy was there also. But I think this is appropriate to salute our Navy sailors who were at Normandy and also who served throughout all the theaters in World War II, not only in Europe, but also in the Pacific. Well, that's broken up. Now, here's the theme. This is Maestro Gyorgyiszko, who's a refugee from Hungary. He conducted the Metropolitan Opera, the Cleveland. So I think we'll play. This is the theme used by the Allies to alert the French resistance. We're listening on their clandestine radios.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll do a few spots of the Beethoven Fifth. Now, at the beginning, you know, I feel we should return to our old way of doing it, but perhaps with one little modification to make that gap after the fermata a little less abrupt and a little smaller, so that we don't play ta-ta-ta-ta, ta-ta-ta-ta-ta, just a little longer cutoff, not too snappy a cutoff, but rhythmically the same. Gentlemen, it is getting a little bit slow if this response is not immediate, if that little eighth fret is a fraction of something too late. It forces us almost imperceptibly into a slower tempo, and by the time we have played four or eight bars, it is a different tempo. So you have to be there and very close to the sound. Once more, from the beginning, in crisp tempo. One.
Intelligence services during World War II to contact the French resistance. They used many themes and poetry. We'll be back Monday with part two. D-Day just didn't last one day. It was a long campaign and fighting through the fields of Normandy and on toward Berlin, Arnhem, a lot of battles and onward to Berlin. This is Peter Paul Brizola. Go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AMICUS, VERITAS. Good night. Have a safe weekend.